Good evening. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. This is a story that we've all heard since we were small children about David and Goliath. But as we know that David is a forerunner of Christ, so let's, as we read this tonight, let's look in, not just look at it as a Bible story, but as, let's look and see Christ in the scripture that this foretells of him. 1 Samuel 17, let's start at verse 4. We'll read down through verse 11. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's skip down to verse 32. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I called him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou canst come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sheram, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took and brought him before Saul, with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, we approach your throne of grace with thankful hearts, thanking you for this day that you've given us, this day of rest, of peace, this day of worship. Lord, we thank you for this word, your holy word that's being read. Lord, we thank you for the gospel that we heard this morning. Lord, that how we're unable to lift up ourselves, that we need someone to lift us up, to defend us. Lord, to be our shepherd as we count you to be great shepherd of the sheep. Lord, we are the children of your pasture. And we thank you for your mercy and for your grace upon us, for defending us against all evil. Lord, we thank you for your people, for your sheep. We thank you for the word that we heard this morning from your servant, Brother Gary. We pray that you be with our brother Brad tonight as he stands to proclaim the gospel unto us. Send it forth to accomplish that which you would have it to do. Save sinners such as ourselves. Pray that your Son be exalted, his name would be glorified. Lord, we pray for the poor, for the needy, those that are sick among us. Pray your healing hand be upon them. Lord, for those that are cast down and of heavy heart, pray that you comfort them. Lord, we pray for our brother Larry Matthews at the loss of his sister, his loved one. Pray that you comfort him. Lord, we ask that you'd save us and save our loved ones. Lord, cause us to learn of you tonight, to seek your face. We give all honor and glory to your name. We alone are worthy. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
I find my text tonight in Proverbs chapter 8. The title of my message tonight is found in verse 1, where the chapter begins, and the question is asked, "Doth not wisdom cry?" That's the title of my message tonight. Let's read a few verses, and as we read, let's keep in mind this introductory question, "Doth not wisdom cry?" Well, yes, wisdom does cry. So let's read down through verse 21 together. "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." Oh my, that's saying something there. Doth not wisdom cry? The first thing that struck me as I read this chapter here a while ago, this is not just a voice that's crying. This is wisdom that cries, and understanding that puts forth its voice. Are we interested in hearing what wisdom has to say tonight? I trust that we are. But you know, and Gary talked to me about this morning, there are two pressing matters upon my heart and mind this evening. And I think it's consistent. Anyone who stands before a group such as this, and as we're preparing messages and bringing messages, first of all, it's a matter of necessity, and it lays heavy on my heart and mind that if I speak, I must speak of Christ, our blessed Redeemer. I must speak of Him. I must speak of Him. I must lift Him up and consider Him. And not only consider Him, but honor Him and glorify Him. Esteem Him above all. Esteem Him our all in all. His greatness demands it. Who He is demands that. It demands that. He's worthy. His infinite worth warrants infinite praise. And it would be a delight to my soul if we were able to do that here tonight, to honor our blessed Savior. And the other pressing matter is this, that each and every one of us here tonight are eternity-bound souls in desperate need of Christ tonight. I said a desperate need. We who are fast approaching eternity are in desperate need of an anchor that holds us fast and firm, though all around our soul gives way. You know, we that believe must have faith to believe, to continue to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We would dishonor our Lord if God removed His hand from us. We would destroy our own soul. So we have those two great pressing needs tonight. Very serious, very weighty. And we know that I can even touch the surface regarding these matters. The height and the greatness of our Savior's glory is beyond expression, beyond compare. And oh, the depth and the greatness of our need of Him, the desperateness of our need. So we look at His Word tonight, and may God give us a glimpse of Christ our Lord, our great Redeemer. For if we see Him by faith as our representative before Christ, we see that all that is against us has been taken away. He's made all things well to those that He died for. And our soul is anchored in Christ our rock, which cannot be moved. And all is well. But I want to emphasize a couple things in verse 1 of our text at the outset. We touched on it already. First, someone here is speaking. And secondly, he who speaks does so with earnestness and urgency. And it said that he cries. The voice cries. Doth not wisdom cry? Raises his voice. But before we go further, and I'll not spend a lot of time proving to you all that this wisdom here is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. I can prove that by Scripture. And this very chapter points that out as you read through it. Who else could it be? And I know I don't need to prove that to you tonight. But this is Christ our Lord speaking here. In 1 Corinthians 1:24. It says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. There it is. That's all we need to know. And wisdom cries. And understanding. Christ is wisdom. Christ has made unto us wisdom. And He's the very wisdom of God. And He is understanding. And it puts forth His voice. He puts forth His voice. And is not silent. One of the first thoughts I had regarding this text as well, aren't you glad that He's not silent? That He does cry forth, His voice does cry. Where would we be if He had not spoken? Where are we before we hear His voice? Well, we're in darkness, aren't we? We're in darkness and we're lost. Spiritually blind and ignorant. Ignorant of Christ, ignorant of His gospel, ignorant of His salvation, ignorant of ourselves, wrong about everything, not right about anything. And let me say it again and emphasize, wisdom cries. Wisdom cries. It's an urgent message. You know, John the Baptist, we read, he said of himself, I'm the voice. He said, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. I'm not wisdom, but I'm crying out, a voice crying in the wilderness, behold the Lamb of God, behold the wisdom of God, pointing men to Christ. But this is wisdom himself, who is said to cry. Wisdom crieth. And I'll have a little bit more to say about that in a little bit, but let's look at, first of all, wisdom puts forth, wisdom and understanding puts forth its voice, not in a whisper, that only those that are near may hear, but that those that are far off and those that are far gone, they may hear the cry. It's said that the adulterous woman spoke in secret, the oracles of the heathen muttered, but wisdom speaks openly, and truth seeks no corners. Secondly, how and where does wisdom cry? We just read this. How and where does wisdom cry? Look in verse 2. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates at the entry of the city, and at the coming in at the doors. Turn over with me to chapter 1 of Proverbs, just over a couple pages. And look in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. In the city. Look over in John 18. Verse 20. Gary, you touched on this morning, that it was his custom to teach in the synagogue. But it says here, Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. He spoke openly. Wisdom's voice goes forth. And in Psalm 19, look over there for just a moment. There's other ways we hear wisdom's voice. We read here, Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Wisdom crieth out. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And then wisdom puts forth his voice through the eternal word, which he has preserved. The word we read tonight has been preserved throughout all the centuries. And he cries from his word that we may read it today. His prophets of old, he spoke through his prophets down through the ages past, centuries past. He spoke through his prophets. And preachers of today continue to cry like John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Christ himself in human flesh invaded human history. It's said of him in Hebrews chapter 1, God at sundry times and diverse manners spake unto us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He came to this world and lived on this world. It's recorded of him while he lived on this world, where he stood and cried. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And his Father spake from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear what he's got to say. He came and he cries to the sons of men. The Lord Jesus Christ invaded human history and became a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of cross, the death of the cross. And if you want to see wisdom, if you really want to see wisdom, there's wisdom on the cross, dying for his people. Wisdom is there on the cross. As our Lord is lifted up high, he speaks from the high places. And the enlightened eye sees the wisdom of God in Christ crucified. Christ the Son of God. And wisdom cries. Doth not wisdom cry? He cried from the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsaking God? Oh, what wisdom is in that. Consider that. Paul said, well, we preach this Christ crucified. This is who we preach. Unto the Jews, he's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, whether they be Jew or Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. There he is again, the wisdom of God. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom. If we have him, we have wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom, and not only that, but righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We glory in him because he's been made unto us. We didn't make him anything, but he's been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, all that we need. He's our all in all. And then third, to whom, I ask this question, to whom is this voice of wisdom? Look down in verse 4, back in Proverbs 8. Let me get back over there. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. That's just astonishing. And I rejoice in that too, don't you? Not only does he cry, but he cries to men and the sons of men. What a word that wisdom not only cries, but unto you, O men, I call. Unto you, O men, I call. And make note of this. Wisdom's not sent to the wise. Look in verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Wisdom is not sent to the wise, but to the simple, and to fools. We read in Psalm 19 and verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In Psalm 116, the Lord preserveth the simple. We have no wisdom. Our worldly wisdom is of no value. I was brought low, and he helped me. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Anyone here tonight simple? Anyone here a fool? By nature, we must have wisdom come and speak to us. The world by wisdom, by its own wisdom, knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. It's what we're doing tonight, preaching. That's foolishness to this world. Have no interest in preaching. See it as foolishness. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Doth not wisdom cry in every generation through his preachers? Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And beginning in verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Oh Lord, make me a fool. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, but they are vain. The thoughts of the wise of this world are vain thoughts, empty thoughts. And then fourthly, what shall wisdom cry? Back in Proverbs 8, what does wisdom cry? Down in verse 6, we read, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. My mouth shall speak truth, in verse 7. In verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Nothing froward or perverse in them, and plain to him that understandeth. Isn't that a blessing, that his words are plain, they're truth, they're right, they're excellent? I like what James says in chapter 3, verse 17. He says, but the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that's from above, we're talking about Christ. Christ, who is from above, he's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Aren't those sweet words that describes our Lord? Aren't those sweet words? Oh my, the value of wisdom, the value of Christ, Christ, the wisdom of God, how greatly to be desired that we have him, that we know him, that he has spoken to us and given us and made himself to be our wisdom, our righteousness, our all in all. Let's read on in verse 10. For admonished, receive my instruction. Receive the instruction of wisdom and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And we could say Christ is better than rubies. That's what that's saying. Not wisdom of the mind that can explain things and understands deep things. But it's Christ. For Christ is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Look again over there in verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches. The riches of this world are fading away, and they're temporary. With me are durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. And I lead in the way of righteousness, the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, eternal things, and I will fill their treasures. Oh my, not to be compared to anything else. And then let me ask this question. Why does wisdom cry and understanding put forth his voice? Well, we touched on that a while ago, because we don't know him. We're ignorant of him. That is, we know not God. We may have a God, but we don't know the true God, and we don't know Jesus Christ. Why must he cry? Because we don't know him, and we're in darkness, and we are strangers to God. We're strangers to God's salvation. We're blind and in darkness and in death and in rebellion, and we're far off from God, so far that we cannot come back unless God comes and gets us. Thus he must cry, and forcefully so, that we may hear his voice. We must hear the voice of Jesus Christ. We don't hear an audible voice, but he speaks to our heart, our soul, through his blessed word. And we do hear him speak. And we must hear him speak. His word speaks to us. You know, some scriptures came to mind where our Lord cried and puts forth his voice. Look over in Isaiah chapter 40. And down in verse 6. God is telling the prophet, it says in verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Well, here's what you cry. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's wisdom speaking. What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's wisdom speaking. O prophet of God, cry this over in Isaiah chapter 58. Notice, there it is again. Don't just speak these words, cry these words, cry loud. There's an urgency and an emphasis. Isaiah 58, cry loud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. That's wisdom speaking. Show them their transgressions and their sins. And then in John 37, I love this verse. I think of it often. It just speaks something to me about the heart of our Lord. He said, I stretch forth my hand, and no man regarded. He said in that last day, that great day of the feast, in verse 37, Jesus stood and cried. Jesus stood, wisdom cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's the voice of wisdom again, crying. Wisdom crieth. Doth not wisdom cry? Our Lord Himself stood and cried. Look over a couple pages in John 11. Verse 43. He stood at Lazarus' tomb. It says, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. His voice brings about life. His command enables us to do what we cannot do. God's voice is life itself. This is the voice of wisdom. It's life itself. And then turn with me over to Matthew chapter 27. Verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried, wisdom cried, with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh my. Here we see and hear wisdom cry with a loud voice to God his Father. And we know he did not need to raise his voice so God could hear him, so his Father could hear him, but that you and I might hear his cry, that we may know he's now being forsaken by his Father. You want to see wisdom? We talked about it a minute ago. Look at the cross. Here it is. God forsaking God. There our Lord hangs between heaven and earth. Christ crucified, whom we preach, unto us which are called, he's the power of God and the wisdom of God. We read there in 1 Corinthians where the Jews require a sign. They're not looking for a person. They're looking for a sign. They're looking for something they can see, a light from heaven, or some great Messiah person with great visible power and glorious to men's eyes. If Jews require a sign, show us some great marvelous thing that we may behold it with our eyes. The Greeks seek after wisdom. They say, oh, it must be explained to my natural mind. I've got to be able to grasp it with the faculties of my reason and my study, my intellect, and the grasp of it must be gained by my own wisdom. That's what the Greeks are seeking after. They're not seeking after a person, the lowly Jesus who hangs on a cross. And I say it again, but we preach Christ crucified, the lowly Jesus, but the victorious Jesus, the sovereign of the universe, not visible to the human eye, to the natural eye. He is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. Think of what the eye of faith sees as we gaze at our crucified Lord. And I just made note of some things here. Here is wisdom. Christ being made sin, who knew no sin, in suffering the wrath of God against sin not his own, that we might be given his righteousness. Oh, the wisdom of God in bringing that to be, in purposing that salvation where the just dies for the unjust and the guilty go free. We see substitution, the doctrine of substitution. Our generation of religious churchgoers don't know anything about these things. pray God that wisdom would speak to them and teach them these things. This is salvation, substitution, imputed righteousness. The only reason he must die is that he might give his righteousness to his elect. But he must die. We see in Christ the effectual atoning sacrifice for sin. We see God being just and the justifier. Oh, we see in Christ crucified covenant mercies. Him being the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Him doing what he must do. Him doing what he promised to do. We see the true character of God. We see God's holiness, that God the Father turned his back on his blessed Son on account of sin that he bore, that was charged to him. We see the holiness of God, who cannot look upon sin, could not even gaze upon his own Son, the apple of his eye, for there was sin on him. His justice, we see his justice that demands payment for sin. Sin must be punished. Sin is so awful. God must punish sin, and he will punish sin wherever he finds it, even when he found it on his Son. And you know what else we see? We see the true nature of man. Oh, there's a wealth of wisdom in gazing at the Lord Christ crucified. We see the true nature of man. We see that the natural man hates God. Hates God. The natural man would kill God, and they tried. Would put him out of business if they could. You see, man's not angry with their God, but are violently opposed to the true God and his Christ. They're not neutral, violently opposed. When we look at the cross, he who went about doing good, no sin, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, meek and lowly, hated him and put him to death. And they're not neutral. That's man by nature. That's you and me by nature. We see the end and the consequence of sin in that the innocent Savior must die for sins laid on himself. Sin brings forth death by necessity. The soul that sinneth, the Scripture says, it shall die. We see the Old Testament types fulfilled in him. We read of Cain and Abel, where Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and Abel brought a bloody sacrifice. Right there is what that's talking about. That's the fulfillment of that type, that picture, our Lord Jesus Christ. We see Abraham and Isaac about to be offered. And the Lord stayed Abraham's hand as he began to plunge the knife. And the Lord stopped him. And he had told Isaac prior to that, Isaac asked him, where's the sacrifice? And he said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Here's the sacrifice provided for all his elect. We see Jonah, who spent 3 days in the whale's belly. We see the Passover, that blood on the door, on the outside, and God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's our Passover, wisdom hanging on that cross. We see the unalterable, unchanging purpose of God. He said, I've spoken it, and I will bring it to pass. I've purposed it, I will also do it. That which he has promised, he's bringing to pass, and sent his Son to die. And he died. He sent him this for this cause, came I into this world, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We see his great power, having power over death, said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. Oh my, only wisdom can do that. We see the power of God in His death. We read there in Scripture that behold, when He gave up the ghost, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. He made a way into the Holy of Holies. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The only man that ever died whose death accomplished something. Oh, we see the power of God. The earth did quake when He gave up the ghost, and the rocks rent, and death was swallowed up in victory, that we may say, oh death, where's your sting? He took it away. Oh grave, where's your victory? We see that loved one lowered into the ground. And if they're a believer, we can say in our hearts, it doesn't look like it right now, but that grave has no victory. That body's going to be raised. Oh my. Oh grave, where is thy victory? And oh bless His name, we see this. We see a lot there at the cross, don't we? We see this. We see the love of God. God is love. God is love. Oh my. Someone wrote, it's in our bulletin this morning, that Christ did not die so that God could love us, but He did so because He loves us. He's loved us, always has loved us. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, when He set His love upon us before time ever was. He said, I lay down my life for my sheep. I've come to get my sheep. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Oh, I love that. I must bring them. I must bring them. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We see this. We see God's willingness to save. Isn't that something? We read, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I used to look at that and say, joy and suffering, that's not what that's saying here. His joy is not derived from Him going to suffer. But the sufferings of the cross are not a joy. He said He despised the shame. He endured the cross. The cross is not a joy, but what's to be secured by the cross. That's His joy. What's to be secured by it? Namely, for the sake of having a numerous company of redeemed with Him in heaven. That's His joy. Who are His joy? That numberless company. And it's the crown of rejoicing for the sake of the salvation of all the elect, on which His heart was set. It's on us, His people, who for the joy that He might have His people, that's my joy, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh, the love of God, the willingness of God to save His people. So go ahead and talk about what you're doing for Jesus. I heard a preacher this morning talking about His obedience, how He had started reading the Bible when He was 13 years old, and He's insisted on having the Bible in His home. I. Go on and tell me what you're doing for Jesus, but leave me to gaze upon my crucified Lord, my all in all, and what He's done. Doth not wisdom cry? Oh my, wisdom crieth yet now. He has cried, He is crying, He'll continue to cry. The scripture says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh from heaven, that high place, him that speaketh from on high." And then a scripture of admonition. In James 1, verse 5, we read, "If any of you lack wisdom," lack Christ, that's Christ, "if any of you lack Christ, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not," that is, chideth not, forbids not, "and it shall be given him." Oh my. You want Christ? Ask God, "Give me Christ or I die." And it says here, "and it shall be given." I hope this has been a help to you and an encouragement. It's been an encouragement to me. May the Lord enable us to think on those things. Wisdom, Christ, our Lord, our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, our all in all. Ken and Houston sang. Well, let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Oh, our Father, kind, gracious Father, we do thank you for your dear Son, our all in all. We can't say it enough. Help us to continue in the way, to continue to honor him, believe him, and trust him. Reveal him to those of us that we love and those that come to our services from time to time, have not yet heard his voice, the voice of wisdom, the voice of Christ. Speak to the hearts of your sheep and bring them in, we pray. We thank you that you're still doing that. You're still crying. You're still putting forth your voice. Give us ears to hear. Lead us and guide us and leave us not to ourselves. Pray for our pastor and those that are traveling. Bring them back safely. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll meet Wednesday.